You're listening to DC Domination on the NovaStream Network, your weekly guide for the DC Comics universe. For all the latest on The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, keep it locked on novastream.com.au.
Hello and welcome to DC Domination episode 13. I am your host Brittany, and here we talk about awesome things that are DC. So we have Flash, we have Arrow, we have Legends, and we also have Ryan.
What's up?
And Dylan.
What's up?
Nothing
I like,
much.
I feel like you copied my thing, and I'd appreciate it.
I feel like
it.
You copied my thing, and I'd appreciate it. But what has picked up this week is what, Brittany?
Well, Arrow has definitely picked up, but also to take care of all four episodes in one of our podcasts, because this is crazy, man. I mean, no one wants to listen to a podcast for an hour and 10 minutes. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to put the episodes to a battle. So depending on their star rating on IMDb will depend on whether or not they actually make it onto our show. So the top three will be discussed out of Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, and Supergirl and The Flash. And the lowest ranking star out of those four will be dismissed for that week.
Which is really handy, seeing as like there's more and more shows coming out like every couple of months. So this would give us a nice way to sort of keep the show short and simple, have room for fun. It's rather than just us regurgitating 11 shows in an hour.
In an hour, yeah. And we don't have time for Gotham. We don't have time for Lucifer.
Who does?
Really, it's just hard.
Lucifer's still good. Watch the next episode. Still solid.
There we go. That's a quick review from Ryan.
It's a really good show.
Fantastic. All right, so that's what we're going to be doing. The episode's going to be battling it out on IMDb and then on our podcast. And if an episode is 3 weeks in a row, like, booted from our podcast, we will discuss why. We will try and discuss why we think it didn't make the cut, or maybe even why we think it should have, because everyone has different opinions.
Can we debate the rankings as well?
We definitely will. So everyone has different opinions. So we're going to discuss, like, I already know, because I've had to write the schedule. I know what order it's going to be in. So, Ryan, how would you like to rank this week? The top three episodes? Yes.
Okay. As the tough part is, because I'm still behind in Supergirl, because I'm a horrible person, I have not heard about Supergirl this week. So, in that case, I'll go by with what I've seen and what I know. I'm going to put it as... I forget what happened in Arrow. I'll put it as Arrow, Legends, Flash.
Flash last?
Flash first. So 3-2-1.
Oh, okay. So Arrow, Legends, Flash. Cool. 3-2-1. And yourself, Dylan, what do you think? What's the ranking going to be for you?
3-2-1. I'm going to go Gotham, Legends, and Flash.
You're going to throw Gotham in the mix?
Yeah.
Are we covering Gotham?
No, we're not.
As long as Arrow doesn't make it in the top three, I'm happy.
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, like, well, I actually thought Arrow was great this week, but okay, if you think so. Well,
only because I know that I don't think it ranks that well. I think Legends has not been ranking that well. I have faith that its people have been picking it up on it.
Yeah, see, my feeling with Legends is that they have too many characters, and they're trying to do storyline A, B, and C in each episode, and I think it's too packed.
Well, so let's just get right into it. Mm. What's in third place?
Well, in third place, it's not Legends. It's Supergirl.
Okay.
Yep. Third place is Supergirl, episode 13 for The Girl Who Has Everything, and it got 8.6 out of 10.
Is this, you said this is all from IMDb, yeah?
Yep, this is from IMDb, so if you want to check out whether or not I got my facts straight, and if I got them wrong, throw the figures right in my face, I think that would make for an interesting show. Alrighty, so for Supergirl episode 13, it doesn't take any time in following up last week's late monster. So Kara has been attacked by a Black Mercy, plant-like creature that forces its host into a euphoric dream. With the help of imprisoned Max Lord, the DEO devises a way to put Alex into Kara's dreams and bring her home. But the DEO is pressed for time. With Supergirl down, Astra, Non, and their army plant a strange device on all the satellites surrounding the city. Meanwhile, Kat notices Kara's absence and starts pressuring Wynn. Once again, it's John Jones that has to wear the cape and skirt. So that was Supergirl for that week. Just going to turn the page and find my notes. What did you think of that one, Dylan? Do you think it deserves third place?
Yeah. Oh, it's a tough one.
It's a tough one?
Yeah. No, I don't think it actually. No, I don't think it deserves third place. But I did like some things about it. It was an okay kind of episode. I enjoyed seeing with this Black Mercy parasite on her, she goes into a coma and wakes up believing that she's still on Krypton. So you got to see a lot more of Krypton, their kind of the planet, the architecture of the city, which was really cool.
It's very different from Man of Steel's Krypton, how Man of Steel was very desolate, dark, kind of mountain rangey, I guess, very stony, that Earth.
Mm. This is very, like, it's always Marsy, a little pinkish red sky, and like that retro kind of future
futuristic metropolis, kind of large windows, flowing costumes. Yeah. I really liked the way they designed Krypton. Like, that got me really excited. I'm like, oh my goodness, we're on Krypton. Who would have thought? Like, Supergirl found a way for us to go to Krypton.
And it was cool. And she got to visit her. The thing I didn't get, though, is, and I tried to go back to the first episode, but I couldn't find it. Wasn't Clark a baby when he was sent to Earth?
Yes.
He was.
Even in the Supergirl series?
Yes.
And in this episode, Clark's there as well, and he's like about 10, 11, 12 maybe.
Okay.
And I was like, that's weird. But I mean, it is a dream and all, but I was like,
She's gone into the dream, though, the same age that she is now, so the baby would have grown up by 12 years. So this is the world that would have been.
Oh, okay, so she's thinking of a literal alternate reality.
Well, it's tricking her. The more she's in the dream, the less she remembers about the real world, Earth.
About planet Earth. Because the Black Mercy that's on her, what it does is it takes... I think it, like, sucks your life energy or something, but it takes your happiest memories and stuff and takes you back to where you were, or creates the world that you would want to live in, pretty much. So,
okay.
which is funny, because at the end she felt like she had to explain to everyone why she wanted to go back to Krypton and why it wasn't Earth. Which, I mean, like, girl, you wanted to go back to Krypton. You wanted to go back to a happier time so it wasn't screwed up. You don't need to really explain that.
And she doesn't want to work for Kat.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Although, her working for Kat has created some pretty awesome situations, like John Jones, Melissa Benoist playing Hank Henshaw, playing John Jones, playing Kara as she rocks up to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great. She just struts in, and Wynn and James are like, you're Kara, but you're not Kara. What is going on?
But, yeah, she's getting the chance to kind of, like, last week with the Bizarro version of herself, this week with that. She's getting to show some range.
Yeah, it's very good. I think it's a great opportunity for her. It's unfortunate that I think the story was good this week, but I don't feel like everything is really supporting her as much. She is just amazing in this role. I haven't read much Supergirl at all, and I'd love to hear what Supergirl fans, like, from the comics think of her playing the character, but I just think her acting is phenomenal.
Yeah, she's good. She's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know about the shift changes in the show, though. Like, spoilers, Ryan. At the end of the episode, Astra, right?
Mm.
She's fighting with John Jones, and her sister comes in and pulls out, like, a sword made of kryptonite and stabs her right through the back and kills her. And then John Jones takes the blame for it so that she doesn't hate her sister. And that happened. It was this huge emotional moment. It's the last person that's blood-related to her, her last contact with Krypton. They were getting along, even though she's kind of evil. And then she's devastated. And then the next scene, I know they want to have this kind of, like, fun little flirty girly wrap-up of the episode, but she was like completely over it, and they were sitting around drinking wine and eating cheeses.
Well, it's actually, like, it's amazing.
Cheese is pretty good.
It's amazing what grief does, though. Like, I feel you can, like, some people grieve in different ways, and you can be caught in that grief pool for ages or whatever. And some people, it's almost like a wave. So you fall into that, but then you also, you think, right, I've got to look at something, I've got to distract myself, and then you pull yourself out of the grief. So maybe that's what her character is doing.
Maybe I mean, at 10 like, o'clock she's feeling devastated, and 10:45 she's like, I want to put my feet up, it's Sunday night.
Well, I mean, by the time that James pulls out the bottle of wine, I'd probably be more angry if I, you know, Kara's just like, that's no fun, I can't get drunk. Guys, seriously.
Yeah, that's what she was like.
Yeah.
I just felt, it was a weird shift.
It was. But we get more Martian Manhunter in this. As you were talking about with
and
the
he
fight.
Was talking.
And he was talking, yeah. So we actually, the alignment with Hank Henshaw's voice and the Martian Manhunter was a bit weird.
Yeah.
But visually it was still pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a bit off.
Mm. I think.
But yeah.
Yeah. Seeing Krypton, seeing Martian Manhunter really made that episode.
But is it top three material? In your opinion, Brittany?
In my opinion, it did get an 8.6 on IMDb, and I do wonder if it deserved that. Because, I don't know, like...
Because you thought it deserved higher?
No, I think it's actually a bit generous.
Ooh.
Like, you look at how amazing... some other episodes that we get. I'm trying not to give away any other places in this podcast, the other episodes, but I think there's so much more you can do for an 8.6. Like,
But do you reckon that's because the expected standard of Supergirl is a little bit different than, say, The Flash or Arrow? Or like, maybe that's why it's scored so high. Everyone's like, for Supergirl, it's a pretty episode.
Yeah, I guess they are still finding their feet, but I think it should just be treated as any other thing. Like, I don't think IMDb would be pulling any strings just because it's a female superhero television show. I mean, look at Agent Carter. That second season has just sucked me in. Like, I think I know it's up to episode 5, so I've watched the first 3 episodes, and it's amazing. Like, that is a fantastic female lead superhero heroic. She's not really super, is she? She's just awesome. Awesome female in the superhero realm.
And pretty super to Steve.
Yeah. And I understand it's different genres, like it's still superhero, but one's more action, one's more drama. It's kind of like there's so much more Supergirl can do to really deserve that rating.
So you're saying it's more of a, this episode in particular, a 6, a 7 kind of thing?
I don't know, probably a 7.5,
ooh.
I reckon. Like, next time I'll try and start when straight after I've seen it, but, I mean, it's fantastic. Krypton, Melissa, seeing Martian Manhunter, but it's just not, it's not past an 8, I don't think.
We'll see how we go with the ratings for the other shows, but you'll find, like, The Flash in particular, it mostly sits around the 8 to 9, and the only difference is the variant of, like, 8.2, 8.6.
Whatever the
like,
decimal place
all,
is, yeah.
Yeah, pretty close to an 8, 9.
Yeah.
9.6 for some of their best episodes, 9.2.
It
varies slightly.
Because in my opinion, an 8 is almost like a B in high school. And when you get a B, that's pretty darn awesome. But when you get an A or an A+, it's like, oh my goodness. So that's more like a 9 and a 10. That's like, holy moly, I'm the best student ever. And then like 7's more a C, which is like, that's like the average. It's like, yeah, that's okay, that's cool, awesome. That's how I feel more. And I don't think it deserved an 8.6. Do you have any idea what you would rate it, Dylan?
Probably, yeah, around a 6. I mean, I'm not very generous on the star or point systems, but yeah, it wasn't the best episode. It wasn't terrible, but it was average and not like just okay average, so I'd say about a 6.
Well, amongst the other episodes, now none of the episodes this week got lower than an 8, so every episode was above an 8, and this, the second place for tonight's episode actually got a 9.
Oh.
So do you guys want to guess what it might be?
I said
Legends of Tomorrow.
I thought Legends was third. I say Arrow was third?
You said
I said Legends was second.
I think you did, yeah. So you think it's Legends got 9 this week? Dylan?
I said Gotham, Legends, and Flash.
So you think Legends came second as well?
Yeah.
Alright, so for 9 out of 10, it is actually Arrow, episode 13, Sins of the Father.
I mean, woo! Go you, Arrow!
Woo! Like,
Arrow you.
Yeah, I loved Sins of the Father. Ryan, do you have the synopsis for that one?
I do. So Arrow Season 4, Episode 13, Sins of the Father, follows on from Nyssa's offer of the Lotus Elixir, with Thea dying and Star City turning into the League's Civil War battleground. Ollie, stuck between a rock and a hard place, his method of a peaceful trade between Merlin and Nyssa, the title of the Dragon's Head for the Lotus Elixir, quickly turns south with Merlin's treachery. Ollie is then faced with the horrible realization that killing Merlin, Thea's father, is the only way. Meanwhile, Felicity decides to give her father Noah, aka the Calculator, a second chance, but at what cost?
I've already said that I love the Calculator. I've posted the Who's Who Calculator. So, do you guys like the Calculator? What did you think of this character?
Yeah, he's alright. He's not the worst I've ever seen, but he's alright.
He's alright, mate. I mean, like, I'll have him around for a beer.
He's alright.
Yeah, chuck a snag on the barbie. Hey, mate, how's it going?
Look, I think he's perfectly fine. I don't know. I'm just, meh. See, but for me, that wasn't the issue. Not the issue with the episode. I don't think that was the big selling point of this episode. I really quite liked the battle. Because with the title Sins of the Father, it's every story arc in this episode, it revolved around a father. We've got Nyssa with the, sins of her father, as in the old Raish. We've got, Thea with Merlin. We've got, Felicity with Calculator with Noah. It was quite well done, actually. A little bit.
And also how it kind of like wrapped up a bit of season 3. Yeah, I thought that was very good. Dylan, what do you reckon? Were you okay with this villain? Would you have him around for a barbie and a beer?
I enjoyed him last week. I thought he was cool, and the reveals of like he's at the meeting and then it's your dad, that was cool. This episode I was like getting ready for the show and I'm like, I don't remember a single thing from this episode. Have I watched it? And then I watched it again and I'm like, there is not one redeemable thing about this episode. I'm just watching it like, wow, this is like gobbledygook to me. Like, it felt like such a filler episode, and it's just like, if you were new coming to the show, there's all these storylines meshed together, like Nyssa's back and Merlin's back and Oliver's talking about when he used to be Raish, and I'm just like, what is going on? Like, I don't care. Like, Nyssa, I thought that was done with. I'm like, oh, this is back again. The only thing that I really got out of it was Merlin got his hand cut off. I was like, oh, I'm going to sit up. There we go. He got his hand chopped off. I didn't see that coming.
Which is cool, because if you watch the video, now John Barrowman posted a video of him and the actress Nyssa Al Ghul dancing, and he actually had the stump then. So we've posted on the DC Domination page, and you can see it there. But that was actually, I think it was released before the episode was released.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so that's interesting he was allowed to do that. Anyway, sorry, Dylan, continue.
But yeah, it was just like, there was just a whole lot of people sitting around in rooms talking this episode, and with Nyssa's there was a line towards the end, I didn't even know what it was, when she was like thanking them dressed as Ra's al Ghul, and she's like, he is my sister, and I have died by his sword, and my brother did this, and my father this, and thou shalt this, and I'm just like, that is, like, for the actress, horrible lines that are so confusing. There was one action sequence towards the middle, not that you need action every 5 seconds, but it was like, Thea's still got this thing going on with her heart opening up with the wound from Ra's al Ghul. Wasn't this, like, last week as well? The calculator's back? Didn't we deal with this last week? It just felt very, like, tying up loose ends from last week.
Which I thought was, needed. Like, with Season 3, it's tied up some loose ends from there. It's actually brought up the whole idea of William... I assume his last name is Hawk? Oliver's son in Central City.
That was a
City.
Really good pull, actually.
That
I was
a fantastic...
Yeah.
So they brought that back. I like how Felicity's story is coming in spurts, and she probably... I'm probably a bit biased here, but she's... Apart from Oliver, she's the only character I really want to know the backstory of. Like, we had Diggle a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't really care. I mean, like, it was good, but I want to see more of Felicity. I'm glad they're doing it in spurts and making me want more.
There was one moment where she pulled the old TV routine of she dobbed her father in to the police, but she was like, all right, police, I'm going to time the conversation, and when I announce that I've called the police, can you come in at that exact moment and make it really dramatic?
I think she's just tech savvy like that. I reckon she called them and knew how long they were going to take to get there. And she's special. She's tech savvy.
Oh, it worked.
But what about her mother? I've forgotten the actress's name, but the character, Donna Smoke, comes in all bubbly like, oh, Felicity, la 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 la. And as soon as Felicity mentions that Noah Cutler, the calculator, is in town, Donna, like, snaps. Well, not angry, but she just goes from that bubbliness to, no, don't see him. Don't get involved. And it was great seeing that although this character is elusive, she's kind of... Sometimes she's annoying, she's a bit over the top, but the fact that there is this pain sort of hidden and that the actress can portray that so quickly.
Well, it was because she'd already divided the family and subtracted him from their lives.
Ah, calculator! Oh, that summed up nicely.
Oh, I get it!
Oh, there's the penny.
Yeah, look, I don't care for her. I still... Maybe she's the one that dies... Maybe, because, like, I literally don't care who dies anymore. I really don't. Because that's the coming... They keep sort of... There's an overarching story this season, but there also really isn't.
Yeah.
This episode, one, it did not cover Dark until the last minute. It didn't acknowledge that he's running for mayor.
No, it's not him. It's his wife.
No, not Dark. I meant Oliver.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they spent so much time setting up these overall story arcs, and they're just throwing them by the wayside.
To be honest, I'm at a loss with the Damien Dark storyline. I don't know where it's going.
He rocks up intermittently with no real reason.
He's not, like, I felt the calculator was a better villain this episode, like, well, I guess more last episode. But yeah, I don't see where his plans are going. He's got crops underground, working with Hive. How does Hive fit into this?
Oh, yeah.
Funding it?
When's the more information from that?
Yeah,
I'm really aggressive right now for some reason, but, you know what I mean, like...
Let your hatred flow through you.
I hate you towards the show, like... I want Green Arrow to be... I want Arrow to be so good. I'm a big fan of Green Arrow, so... Why, you know... I want to see the mayor stuff. I'm like... I've always get really concerned with, you know, 24-episode seasons of there is filler, and there's filler. And I don't like there to be. I reckon if they narrowed it down to, say, 16-episode run, we'd probably get a lot more done and better stuff.
Well, I like the side episode every now and then, just to take a step back. Like, I mean, it was great to have a bit more of a wrap-up of last season, why the assassins will no longer be involved in Oliver's life. But it's cool how Felicity doesn't care that technically Oliver's still married to Nyssa.
Yeah, but not in any binding law. It's just...
In the eyes of the assassins.
It's a cult marriage, yeah.
Yeah.
And but, what happened when they melted the ring? What did that signify? That the Ra's al Ghul doesn't exist anymore?
Yes.
Like,
they're implying the League of Assassins is now disbanded. There is no Ra's al Ghul. It's done. Gone.
Just because you melt a ring doesn't matter.
But that ring is what gave them the... Like, it was their version of a crown.
Really, Malcolm Merlyn's probably going to try and fix it up again. But if you really think about it, getting the ring off Malcolm Merlyn wasn't that hard. I mean, it just took a civil war. But imagine trying to get it off John Barrowman. I mean, I've seen the photos online of him doing the whole Gollum, my precious. Like, that's gonna... I have a feel for the director. I mean, that would have been a hard task. Anyway.
Yeah, look, I think it's really cool. You know, essentially, Oliver did... took the option to not kill Merlyn, right?
Which, so, I don't know how he didn't kill him.
Yeah, but and that's the best thing about it. Like, when Merlyn offered that line, he's like, I have a debt that I will have to pay for you, and it haunts me. Because, like, it's like almost like a life debt. Like, he's like, I didn't kill you. You owe me. I hate knowing. Like, you look at him, and you know that Merlyn hates knowing that he owes Oliver now for his life.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Oh, I'm like, oh, how good. So good. That was a really good moment, actually.
Which is funny, because I took that more as a threat that he was going to take Oliver down.
I took it the other way, because he's like, you know, he's like, yeah, I owe you, and I hate it.
Mm.
And I'm going to do whatever I can to not pay you back.
And this is great, because hopefully this creates a bit more of an actual enemy situation between the Green Arrow and Merlyn.
Mm.
Anyway, that was Arrow. Do we have anything else to throw at it, to tear it down?
This is boring.
Oh, flashbacks suck.
Flashbacks are really boring. The Russian chick was really sad. Angry guy now has a rock with words on it.
Right, yeah, lots of rocks.
Just rocking out on that island.
He is rocking out hard.
Mhm.
Yeah, they're really spreading that out. Like, I know what the story is, you can look back at it and be like, wow, they needed flashbacks in every episode, but they could have taken that out and that out and that out to get to the point of whatever it is they're doing. I don't know. When it was Constantine, I was excited. All this mysticism's coming into it, and that feels like it was a season ago, so long ago.
It does. Like,
it was picking up momentum, and I'm like, oh, it makes sense now. And then
nothing. Like, there was another connection with the Diggles, but it's just, I think it's forgivable for Arrow just to drop the flashbacks.
Yeah.
Look, look
at Laurel's time when she was in Star City, or look at Thea's time when she was in Star City over the 5 years. Not constantly that damn island.
Look, I think the flashbacks can be executed well when they're not trying to pad out what really is barely an episode into 24.
Mm.
You know what I mean? They're like, we're going to have one, like, the only overarching story we'll have is in flashbacks, but no one cares about flashbacks. Like, I think they have a place. I think you can get a lot of easy exposition and explain a bunch of stuff and connect a ton of crap pointlessly in those flashbacks. So they do have a device, but I think they need to do it better.
Before we reveal the first place, what we're going to do is we're going to jump on over to news. Any music? Love it. Anyway, so news this week, or over the past little while, IMAX has revealed a Batman vs. Superman trailer, and it's showing a lot more of the Batman fighting some crooks, and even the two heroes battling it out.
Oh my god, that's so good.
Jump in, Dylan, what do you think?
You have to wait. I get to say all the cool stuff.
Oh my god.
So, yeah. I was discussing this with Brian because he had seen it before I had, and I was complaining about how Deadpool kicks ass and Batman never kicks ass, and he could. And then he was like, have you seen the new trailer? And sure enough, Batman bursts in the room and he's just crushing dirty turkeys and smacking them in the neck. Like, it's crazy. He's even at the end of the fight scene in the sequence, he's like, I'm getting slow in my old age. And he's just like breaking skulls, punching guys in the face, landing on their heads, taking people down, breaking bones. Like, that's what I wanted to see, like, fight choreography, but, like, brutal, like, Batman vigilante style.
It made me think of the Batman games, Batman Asylum games.
It is. It
like
is.
Like how fluent that was. Sorry, jump in, Ryan. What do you think?
I'm so excited.
You're bursting.
It is the straight up rolling of the Arkham series. It's raw. It's dirty, but it also feels really methodical. As in, like, it looks like chaos, but there's plan, and there's, like, count, you know, but it does, like, when you watch, say, Arrow, you know, when you see their choreography, you all know that they've mapped it out, and they've rehearsed it a ton of times, and you know it's, like, strike here, kick here, dodge, dish, dub, swing the bow, you know what I mean? You can tell it's really mapped, but this just seemed like, boom, 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 and then, like, with the force, like, you know, like dropping that guy into the crate, punching that guy so hard his body stops moving and he defies gravity and he faces the ground.
Yeah,
like,
that was
exceptional.
Awesome.
Like, you know when, like, they're like, just that moment with Alfred and he's like, you know, look, there's 12 people, there's 12 hostiles on the third floor, I'm gonna put you on the second. I'm like, oh, I know what they're gonna do, it's gonna be so good. Like, having Alfred be more involved, or like, even though the small little drop of what we've seen, if we look at the previous Batman movies we've seen, we saw the old dude in like the Burtonverse. He was just this crippled old dude that didn't do crap, apart from be old.
Yeah, we made Batgirl's costume.
Yeah, and like he had a brother that was on an elephant or something, but.
I don't even remember. Let's just not touch that.
Has like an uncle that works in India as a butler because all his family are butlers. And then we had the Nolanverse Batman movies where Michael Caine was just there talking about things the size of tangerines, and like, he didn't actively contribute to the being of the Batman.
Yeah.
Where like already, you know, I've blanked out of his name. He's the Alfred that we want. He's the one that's like, all right, I'll help you out. This is what you need.
We can see playing the role of, like, in Batman Bad Blood, when if you watch the DC Who's Who calculator, you'll see the calculator going up against Alfred. And Alfred's a boxer. He's got the fists up, and he's dodging, and he's ducking low. Like, I can see this actor doing that. I can see this
Alfred
doing it.
From Batman Earth 1. He's the SAS-trained... one that doesn't take no crap. You know what I mean? Like, that, they got a little bit of that with Alfred in Gotham. Like, you know that he has a lot more, like, bit more tougher exterior. I think Jeremy Irons got that next level again. And as Dylan said, that conversation of, look, I'm slowing down on my old age. I'm like, we didn't even see you punch those dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I thought that was really fascinating. They're having that debate of, you like, there's even one, like, with Ben Affleck, there's even 1% chance this guy can destruct it. We have to take his absolute certainty. I'm like, oh, yeah, the hatred. It's really good. This trailer is absolutely solid. This is the trailer that this other one should have been.
Yeah.
As much as I love the Doomsday reveal, if they didn't issue that trailer at all, I would be more happier, because this trailer is just exceptional.
Well, what about the bit more of a reveal on Bruce Wayne and Lex Luthor in the, is it Turkey Airlines?
Yes.
Turkish Airlines? Yeah.
Turkish Airlines. So we get to see a bit more of Bruce being very buff in his suit. Like, I don't know how those sleeves aren't bursting. And then also Lex Luthor sitting on a plane with a blue ball staring into the screen like, I'm awesome. Love me.
I really enjoyed those ads. I thought they were really clever. But you know there's some dumb guy out there that's like, we can fly to Gotham now.
Is that you, Ryan? Have you tried to buy your tickets?
Oh my god, if this is the real destination, I am flying there.
Well, haven't we already discussed this? I mean, Melbourne is Batmania.
It is.
Yeah, so you're already there, mate.
Already here, I'm going to fly nowhere.
I have to say that one thing I did notice is the part where Batman is in the Batmobile and Superman rips the doors off always look cool. But the more I watch it, the more it looks like they're in like some random, like, gas station in the middle of nowhere in the most anticlimactic area to battle ever. That's weird to me that they're not fighting in the middle of the city or somewhere cool or exciting.
Well, why would they fight in the city if the whole reason he's fighting him because he destroyed a city?
Yeah, no.
And also, Batman's the greatest detective. He'd find out that Clark Kent is Superman and probably try and find him at his home.
Knows his weakness is gas stations.
Did you also realize that, like, when the Batmobile comes around, like, does that big little drift, and then plows straight into Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Two things. Did Bruce know that he would bounce off it, or two, did he straight up try to hit and run this guy?
Oh, that's a very good point.
Because
Batman doesn't kill. I mean, well, he straight up cripples people. We've seen that in the start of the trailer. Maybe he had calculated the strength, I guess.
You know, but even then, like, not the average dude can take, like, a car to them, like, to their body.
A V8 tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you're forgetting the whole point that Superman tried to punch Batman, and Batman's like, I'm going to block this, and what do you do about it? And Superman just like, what?
Superman also had the little twirl of hair on his forehead. I thought, like, how did they fit that in and make it good? Like, anyway. So go check out the trailer. Ryan is obviously...
I'm literally rewatching it right now.
He's freaking out over it.
It is insane. Like, there's after Batman jumps out of that hole, he grabs a dude, lifts him above his head, and just like as if he were doing a touchdown at the end zone. It's just like, boom, and the guy goes like dent in the ground.
Yeah,
it's exceptional. You're seeing just the brutality of Batman. It's great.
Is amazing. And if you are a huge fan of Batman, there are a few action figures now. Actually, I don't know if this is on sale now, but the DC Collectibles will be showcasing its 2016 product lineup at the New York Toy Fair. Some of the collectibles include action figures from Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, and even Suicide Squad. So we have Harley.
Yeah, none of these are out yet.
El Diablo, so they're not out yet. It's really cool. Like, have you guys scrolled across to number 27 of the link I sent you?
She's actually in a wheelchair, Oracle?
She's actually in a wheelchair. This is Arkham City.
Oh, man, I'm buying the crap out of that.
So this is her in her bat gear, and there's another one with Oracle in the chair, so it's a two-pack.
I've seen the Batgirl figure before, because I was like, oh, I'm purchasing that. Okay, I'm scrolling down. Where's my pictures at? Come on, because you got me all pumped.
Scrolling down, it's at the top. Just wait for it to load.
Okay, and that Batman looks sweet.
Yeah, right. So they've got a couple of really good ones there, but also some really bad-looking ones, like Aquaman and Jon Stewart look pretty stupid.
The likeness of Gal Gadot is pretty good.
Yeah.
The face sculpt of Harley Quinn doesn't really look like her, but the body's pretty much spot on.
I'm more excited for the new Batman the Animated Series figures. They had a 5-pack of the girls, so Supergirl, yep. Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, Killer Frost.
And the electric Livewire.
Livewire, yeah. Mm. But what I'm excited for is they've got a Batman Beyond 3-pack. So you've got Terry McGinnis Batman, old Bruce Wayne, and Ace in the 3-pack as well. I always wanted an old Bruce Wayne figurine, so that's awesome.
They do have a lot of the Greg Capullo series, which I do like Greg Capullo as an artist. But some of these figures don't really come out that well. An example being, as you mentioned, the Aquaman one looks a little bit shoddy. Mm-hmm. But the GCPD Batman, that looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, so definitely check them out. I'll pop the link below in the About section for this podcast.
See, I'm such a sucker for action figures, so this is great for me. Ooh, and a Flash Unmasked. Ooh, take off.
All right, before Ryan, gets bankrupt, let's move on to the first place of tonight's episode and the final show that we are going to review. Unanimous between us, well, between you guys, you said Flash, didn't you?
Spot on.
Yep.
Yep. Well, you are 100% wrong.
Oh.
And I am messing with you. Flash has actually gotten a 9.7, and it is first place.
That... I literally could not imagine it being anywhere else. But what's the synopsis?
So, Dylan, do you have a synopsis in front of you?
Maybe I do. Maybe I do. So, before heading to Earth 2, Barry closes all but one of the breaches so that Zoom has no other way to travel between parallel Earths in Flash Episode 13, Welcome to Earth 2. So using the last breach at Star Labs, Barry, Cisco, and Dr. Wells travel to Earth 2, but there's a surge of energy that destabilizes the breach, so the trio will be stuck in Earth 2 until Caitlin and Jay can stabilize the breach again. Barry decides to impersonate his Earth 2 self to get more information on Zoom. He then meets Iris and Joe of Earth 2, and Iris works for the CCPD while Joe is a singer at a jazz bar. The three are attacked by Earth 2's Caitlin and Ronnie Raymond, known in Earth 2 as Killer Frost and Deathstorm, and they are agents of Zoom. In the attack, Joe is killed. Is he killed or just injured?
No, he's pretty, dies later.
In the fight, he's injured, but he
dies later. Cisco attempts to help the police stop the pair, but he's confronted by his own evil doppelganger named Reverb.
Genghis Khan.
I'm just reading here, man. Cisco understands that Reverb has great power and can control the Nervice systems too, and is amazed. Barry tries to rescue him, but is stopped by Reverb and Deathstorm. Zoom arrives, kills Reverb and Deathstorm for harming the Flash, and then imprisons Barry alongside Jesse. Meanwhile, Jay reveals to Caitlin that he invented Velocity 6 on his Earth, and that is the real reason why he lost his speed and is dying, because he's addicted to it.
Yeah, I think this definitely deserves its 9.7.
100%. Like, this is what I love about The Flash. Like, it knows it's silly. Like, it knows it's treading the comedy the comic line, and then just embraces it. Like, it has no hold bars. You know, like, we're going to an alternate universe, which means we can do some alternate crap. Done.
Yeah, definitely. I love how, just a quick... Like, the dialogue is always amazing in The Flash, but this week it actually is revealed the gym grades of Barry, Caitlin, and Cisco. In that order, Barry gets C, Caitlin got a D, and Cisco was a straight-up F. Love it. I just love how they fit that in, and it was a beautiful little
tell of the characters. What was your guys' PE scores? Britt, you seem like a sports kid.
I
would have been alright.
I played basketball and volleyball, but I didn't take sports as a class in high school.
Oh, the second that I didn't have to, I stopped taking it.
Yes,
so.
Yeah, pretty much. Because the class was really just stupid. But what about you, Dylan? Did you do sports in high school?
It's not called sports, it's called PE, which is physical education.
It is. And then you get HPE, which is stupid.
What's HP?
Health and Physical Education.
Whoa.
The worst class I ever took. That was in grade 10.
That's why I'm unhealthy. I'm just physical.
No education, just physical.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. B's, maybe?
Yeah.
I
got so many participations.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I turned up, mostly.
All right, stop distracting everybody. Get to the point. They went through, about to go through the breach. Jay Garrick's like, all right, when you get in there, guys, don't get distracted.
Don't from
whatever you see. Whatever you see. And Barry's like, Cisco is like, what are we going to see? And Jay's like, everything. And when they go through there, what do they see? What do they see?
They see Arrow.
They see the Henry Allen Flash, like, you know, as in John Wesley's ship from, like, the 90s, there's Supergirl is there. They show Jonah Hex. They show a ring of Legion. They show Gorilla Grodd.
But, yeah, most of all, Supergirl. They've done it. They've created a crossover.
Everybody's happy now.
Between CW and whatever the network Supergirl is on. CNN? Wait, or is that news?
Yeah, CNN.
This now with CNN, Supergirl, and The Flash cross. Actually,
wasn't that the crossover, though? Isn't that it? It's done?
No, The Flash is going to be on Supergirl, isn't it?
Because
it's going to be a completely different world Barry Allen with the same Flash powers. So it's pretty much the same, but
what if
different.
It's that lame, glasses-wearing Barry Allen? They're like, psych, you thought it was going to be The Flash, and it's just this loser.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he got the girl.
The biggest FU.
Be much of a loser if he gets the girl. And Iris, she was
because it's Iris. Like, no
well,
one wins.
She's tearing it up in that world. I mean, she's a cop.
She's wearing the sassiest pants I've ever seen.
Yeah. I know. It's
so
great.
Much sass in those pants.
And then Joe. Oh my goodness, that voice. Bless Joe. Bless him.
See, more reasons to have a musical episode.
Yeah, yes. Well, I guess they kind of did. I would accept this as a musical episode. I mean, we've had Caitlin and Barry sing karaoke, Summer Lovin'.
Yeah.
So that was good. We've had Joe, so that's good, unless they get John Barrowman across to do a singing number.
Well, he's not in it anymore, but yeah, Stein is a musical theatre background guy as well.
Oh. Well, I mean, like, Earth 2, anything can happen.
Yeah. I say bring it on.
Did anyone catch who the mayor was of Earth 2?
Snart.
Yeah.
A Snart, at least, yeah.
Yeah, Mayor Snart. Which was, I wonder what would have caused that difference. I mean, his dad was a criminal, like...
Maybe his dad's the mayor. You don't know.
Maybe his dad's... Yeah, maybe it's his dad. Didn't think about that.
Has Barry ever met Floyd Lawton or even know what he looks like to know that that was Deadshot?
That's a very good point.
Not only is he like, that's Floyd Lawton, but he's like, oh, Deadshot. But Deadshot wears his mask, so... Oh, he's got his eye patch, I guess. But yeah, he'd need to know, not only is that Deadshot, but that's his real name.
And I guess Oliver Queen really isn't the type of guy to share...
Yeah.
Villain lists.
Maybe they're hanging out and comparing notes.
Well, I guess if he didn't point it out, I think a few fans may have missed it. I reckon I may have missed it.
Yeah, because I didn't pick straight away that the guy they were bringing in was the mayor.
The captain?
Not the captain. Like, I didn't pick that straight away. I was like, who's this jerk with the dumb beard?
He looked like the guy from Hunger Games with the wave beard that had died because he ate the berries at the end.
Yeah. The game designer.
But also they had his phone. On his phone were a few names which I don't know why, but Dad and Mum and Dad were on different ones. Maybe that's Joe and then Barry's parents.
Yeah,
but
so
also
Dad, Mum and Dad, Hal, Diana, Bruce.
And Eddie.
That's it.
And Eddie.
So Eddie Thorne, I guess, is alive in that world as well, but Diana, so...
And Iris is that rude that she puts him on speed dial. Like, hey, Barry, I'm just calling Eddie again.
Yeah.
Speed dial.
My one true love.
But that's purely just for, you know, like an Easter egg. It's not a thing, of course.
Yeah. I think... I mean, like, it's... Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why they chose those names. I mean, like, to have Hal there, like, maybe...
It got me excited, and then all they've been doing is talk about Green Lantern for years now, apparently.
Well, they did have in the bar in one of the flashbacks in the early this season where Waller
Arrow.
In Arrow, yeah, Waller and Oliver Queen are sitting down at a bar, and Hal Jordan's jacket is in the way of the camera for the first 2 seconds as the person walks away. So Hal Jordan is in this universe. And that's Earth 1.
They still yet to do anything about it, though.
But maybe they didn't put Clark on there because they don't know what Supergirl are going to do with Superman. So they're like, in case future crossover, blah, 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 we'll just avoid it and not put it there.
True. That's a good reason.
Thank you.
I mean, like, I'm happy and... Thank you. Yes, applaud for you, Dylan. Pat yourself on the back.
Thank you.
What about the doppelgangers? I mean... It's only one world apart, so you wonder why they'd already be that different. But it's so cool seeing Reverb and Vibe, Caitlin and Killer Frost. Like, if you had to pick out of the doppelgangers, what's your favourite?
Disco.
Oh, yeah, Reverb was rad.
Yeah,
he was chewing it up, the scenery.
Samurai haircut going on.
Yeah.
See, like, the big difference is... where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, so, like, if anyone that's read any, like, the comic book side of things, like, Earth 3 is the evil world.
Yeah, is that the one...
Earth 3?
Is that the one where that the animated movie is based on, where the Justice League goes to another dimension and the Justice League are evil?
Yeah, and it's, like, Ultraman and the Owl one and...
Oh, the Owl guy trying to rewrite everything.
Yeah, that one. Oh, I've blanked out completely. But yeah, so like there is an alternate world that they do have evil versions of the Justice League. So it kind of makes sense to, what they're trying to sort of organize. But aside from that, whatever the correct word is, What have we thought of the listing tonight? Do you reckon they've got it right? Is IMDb correct?
Well, it was a bit hard for me to be unbiased because I saw the ranking before I did my own. But I agree. I reckon maybe Legends and Supergirl, like Legends. Just so you guys know, I'll run through the stars again. Legends got 8.4, Supergirl 8.6, Arrow 9, Flash 9.7. And I agree. I struggled with Legends and Supergirl. I'd probably say they're on par. But what do you think, Dylan?
I don't think that Legends was a very strong episode. I'm a big fan of Legends, and I like where it's going, and I like the characters. But yeah, this one wasn't very memorable and should have ranked way lower than, what was it, 8.2? 8.4? Yeah, no, I didn't like Legends this week.
Brian, because I know you had Legends in third place, you said?
Yeah, well, that's...
But Arrow should have been bottom, without a doubt.
It's only because I'm still yet to catch up with Supergirl. Slowly but surely I am, but I'm still really behind in the same breath. So I physically couldn't rank it. I'd only have to go by whatever Dylan's told me. It would be what I thought that episode should have been.
Alrighty. Okay, well, that was the three episodes for today. It's gone Supergirl, Arrow, and Flash. Be sure to tell us what you guys think the order should have been, maybe what you guys have ranked it. I have been your host, Brittany, and with me has been Ryan.
Bye.
Bye. And you can find more of him at...
At Pop Culturist. It's your weekly dose of pop culture-y things that I talk about things and stuff and that.
Awesome. We also have Dylan. Where can we find more of you?
We reviewed on the Marvelous YouTube podcast Deadpool, so you can catch our review on the YouTube channel, which, might I just say, has made the highest opening weekend for a superhero movie of $134 million so far.
And the highest opening box office of any R-rated movie, too. That's an American R-rating, too.
Took some of my money.
Sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Took double of my money.
Well, fantastic. Thank you, guys. Again, my name is Brittany. You can find me here on the DC Domination podcast and also on the Who's Who of DCU. Check it out on online on YouTube. I just recently did the calculator. Thanks again for listening. And as always, may all your universes, including Earth 2, be good ones.
You're listening to DC Domination on the NovaStream Network, your weekly guide for the DC Comics universe. For all the latest on The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, keep it locked on novastream.com.au.
I do like, I was put it out there, I do love the voice that they use for Zoom.
It's amazing.
It's like, it's just the same, but they extend some of the words.
That actually sounded really cool because it glitched a little.